Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and you can click the Listen Live tab for 24/7 talk radio. In addition to that, please check out the thousands of articles and podcasts, which are updated daily. And while you're checking those out, if you like what you see, please share those on social media. We appreciate that a great deal. We've got friend of the show, Sean G, on tonight to discuss some of the hot topics in the news with us. So we're excited for that. First thing I want to talk about is how we have a justice system for Democrats, and then we have a justice system for the rest of us. You look at what happened and just recently with Michael Sussman being let go with a very corrupt judge and jury, which we've talked about. And then you look at, in contrast to that, what has just recently happened with Peter Navarro, and the difference could not be more clear, is that the Democrats will never be held accountable, but their witch hunts towards President Trump and those closest to him continue to produce results. Peter Navarro was the White House trade official who is by far the toughest advocate for tariffs, taxes, and powerful regulations on China. And they handcuffed him, shackled him, and put him into prison because he didn't obey the orders of the Unselect Committee of political thugs on the January 6th committee, led by people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Rob, what are your thoughts on what we're seeing with Peter Navarro being arrested and this witch hunt that we see continue to go on the January 6th committee, when it seems like on our side, we can't get any justice whatsoever?
Well, I would ask our listeners to just remember Roger Stone, what happened to Roger Stone, what happened to Paul Manafort. Now, these men were arrested, gung-ho style, sirens blaring, people jumping out of airplanes, banging down the doors, having dogs out. No, it wasn't at that extent, but it was almost that way. All they had to do was pick up the phone and just say, hey, we're coming to bring you in. Please come downtown with your lawyers. That's what they did for Jussie Smollett. Why is it that they have to have all the theatrics for Roger Stone and Paul Manafort? What were they going to run? Where were they going to go? Were they going to jump on a plane and try to avoid being arrested? Why has the Department of Justice been weaponized under the Democrats? Now, some will say, well, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort, when they were arrested, Trump was in power. You're right, Trump was in power. But the folks controlling the FBI lean Democrat. This is what they like. And I have said this before, and people, please listen to me again. I will say it again. Simply because you have a Republican in power, a Republican sitting in the White House, a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, it does not mean that there aren't people working with them who are also Republicans. You have to remember the civil servants that are there until they retire. Many of them got their jobs under Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. They haven't retired yet. They're still working, and they probably referred a friend who referred a friend. So a lot of those positions, administrative positions, are filled with Democrats. Democrats who I think it was 92% voted for Joe Biden during the recent election, 95% voted for Barack Obama. And let's not forget the Michael Sussman acquittal. Yep, going to bring it up again. And if I have to bring it up every night, I will bring it up every night because John Durham failed. Let's just be honest. If John Durham couldn't convince a judge or keep up enough stink to say, Mr. Judge, you need to recuse yourself because you're too close to the subject matter. You need to recuse yourself because you think that it's okay to have on the juror two individuals that donated to the Clinton campaign, another individual that donated to AOC. One of those individuals is a devout Clinton fan. Not to mention that one of the jurors has a daughter who's on the same baseball team with Michael Sussman's daughter. Not to mention, Mr. Judge, that you yourself was married by Merrick Garland, who's supposed to be over the Department of Justice, who's overseeing all this. Not also to mention that your wife was an attorney for Lisa Page, a devout Trump hater. So if John Durham was unsuccessful in getting the case removed, do we actually think that they were going to give Peter Navarro justice? Do we actually think they were going to call him up on the phone and say, oh, please turn yourself in? Absolutely not. They hate him. Hate, H-A-T-E, a visceral hate. I feel comfortable saying that. This entire Jan 6 commission is a joke. It's a joke. And they're allowed to do it under the Constitution. But one would think that they would do it proper and say, let's make certain that we have on the committee Republicans whom the head of the Republican Party would make a referral for. They don't want that. They want Liz Cheney, a swamper, who has a vendetta against President Trump because he called out her old man, Adam Kissinger, who's a complete idiot, crying on the hill. Oh, you guys, you police officers. I feel sorry for his wife. I feel sorry for his wife. But I won't go there. But I still feel sorry for his wife. But these are the people that are handling this. It's absurd. So what happened to Peter Navarro, I would say to the listeners, it could happen to you. Don't think that this is 6 degrees of separation. No, it isn't. They're showing you what they will do to you if you do not comply and bend the knee. This is what will happen to you. It will befall you also. And while we're sitting here looking at it and saying, he should have just listened. I heard one Republican say, well, you know, you got to realize that you can't play with the government that way. What do you mean by play with the government that way? The law is supposed to be equal across the field. But when you have a political party that has a vendetta that wants to make an example, I will say this again also. And I said this earlier on when Trump was in office, Lindsey Graham should have subpoenaed Adam Schiff and say, we want you to come before the House and tell us what is it you know? What is it that you keep saying that you guys have? He should have had a public hearing. But what did they say? They say, oh, no, you can't do that. You don't want to do that to your colleague. They wouldn't, because if they do it to their colleague, they'll do the same thing to Republicans. Well, heck, they beat you to it. You can't play nice with these people. You have to follow the law. You have to follow the rules. And if the rules say that you can subpoena them, by God, subpoena them and get to the bottom of it. But we didn't do it. So now they're in control. They can do whatever the hell they want. And the only thing we have to do is, thank you, sir. Can I have another one? It's embarrassing, Sean. What do you say?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on here. It's been a minute, but it's great to hear your voices once again. And, you know, I think when we get into this judicial system and corruptness and some of these problems that you see with Navarro and others, this goes into what Trump originally said to drain the swamp years ago. You know, the swamp, of course, becomes some of our more high profile political leaders, like the president, senators, whatnot. But it's these judges from the top to the bottom and people in the legal profession that are also really the ones that we need to be draining. And these people, many of which we had never heard of, that are in these high power positions put there by as people as long as Obama years ago, or maybe even in the Clintons. And unfortunately, we've also found some of our Republicans that were in leadership also have their own corruption. For example, George W. Bush, we're finding a lot more about corruption between him and his family. Well, he appointed Justice John Roberts to be our, the head of the Supreme Court. Chief Justice, right? Well, it sounded like a great idea at the time. He was seen as a conservative, but we're finding out more and more that he was a rhino just like many others. And, you know, the thing is, when we talk about judges, you know, there's many people that you hear their names and maybe you never heard them before. I've gone to the ballot where I have to vote for judges and they don't tell you normally who's the Republican, who's the Democrat, or you may not know anything about them. And, you know, this is what we all face. And this is why when we talk about draining the swamp, you know, people on your own local level, find somebody that you know, maybe a friend of yours, somebody that you know that maybe is your local attorney. You know, that person, you know, someone for you to encourage to say, hey, run for a judge. You know, and this is kind of where we start to really take things back and at the very least get it in your own community. And then it trickles on up to the higher levels, to where we finally get the people in power that can replace some of these horribly corrupt officials that have been put there from both sides of the fence. But unfortunately, it still is a big and deep swamp.
It's a huge swamp. And as you said, sometimes you only find out about some of these judges at the last minute. You go to the ballot and you're like, who is this person? And it's by design, because they're hoping that you don't know and that you'll check off the first name that you see. And that's how many people vote. They see the first name, check it, and then move on. And normally that first name is probably a Democrat. And if it's not a Democrat, it's a rhino. Now, going back to what you said on John Roberts, a complete failure. Yes, I said it. He's a failure at his job, the Chief Justice. They could have picked anyone but John Roberts, who seems to be afraid of his shadow. He's the one who okayed Obamacare because he's afraid that if I say the wrong thing, they're going to say that I'm a white supremacist. And God forbid if I say I'm a white supremacist. No, as you said, Sean, we thought at the time, oh, what a great idea to have him as a Chief Justice. And that Bush picked him. Oh, this is so grand. Now we see why he picked him. The man is a loser. And if any of these cases were to go before the Supreme Court, he would probably bow down and roll over. And we're going to talk about him a little later on the show, but I want to go back to Peter Navarro and what's happening with him. He said in a statement that if the Republicans win this November, he would be the first person to say, impeach Biden. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been talking impeachment since day one. And some people said, oh, it's too early. She's a novice. She needs to get in and feel her way around. Why? She's doing and saying what some of the folks who have been there for a long time want say and want do.
Right.
Lindsey Graham is too busy trying to be Biden's friend. Oh, we go way back. But he would throw you under the bus within a heartbeat, Lindsey Graham. But they won't do anything about it. They should already be. We're going to draw up articles of impeachment because he's incompetent. We're going to draw up articles of impeachment because his cognitive ability is challenged. Look at how many times they have backtracked on what Biden has said. When he went overseas and he gave the speech in Poland about regime change and that Putin needs to be taken or removed from office, his office came out immediately and said, oh no, he didn't mean that. He meant something else. What do you mean he meant something else? When he said that we will defend Taiwan, oh, he didn't mean that. He meant something else. He was speaking in his own personal capacity. What do you mean? Oh, it's not inflation. It's something else. Oh, he didn't mean that. And now we hear that Biden is mad because they keep coming out contradicting him. Well, Biden, who's running the White House? Who's in control? Now, what you bet Merrick Garland knew and probably approved Peter Navarro being arrested, being brutalized on his way to the airport, because from what I'm hearing from reliable sources is that they were following him. They had a stakeout at the man's house waiting for him to go to the airport. They could have very easily apprehended him at his house, but no, we can't do that. And what you bet, they didn't call CNN, told the Washington Post, New York Times, hey, we're on his trail. We want to get a cameraman here as soon as possible. We're going to arrest him. We're going to put the chains on him. We're going to put chains around his ankles. Now, let's look at this. Do you think that Frank James, the subway shooter in New York, got that kind of treatment? Absolutely not. Do you think that Daryl Brooks, the shooter in Waukesha, Wisconsin, got that kind of treatment? Absolutely not. Even the Buffalo shooter, Dylan, whatever his name is, he didn't get that kind of treatment. They probably rolled out the red carpet for them, but for Peter Navarro, oh, this has to be the big theatrics. We got to put on the whole pageantry. We got to show them who's in power. And Merrick Garland probably just took his little pen and signed off on it and rolled over and went to sleep after knowing that, hey, we were successful in Michael Sussman. This is happening before our very eyes. No one is saying anything about it. People are just looking at it and, oh, okay, these are just talking points. It's more than talking points to me. It's more than talking points for me, because if it happens to him, it could happen to me. It could happen to any of us. They do not care about us. This is what they want, because they want to silence our voices. Look at how they silence our voices on social media. And they were saying, oh, it's no big deal. Section 230. Oh, we can't do anything about it. It took a private citizen, the world's richest man, to stand up and say, well, maybe I need to buy this contraption and make it play fair. Andrew, this is a disgrace. This is happening in our country, and our politicians are just sitting there. Oh, they can do a lot, but they're afraid because they don't want to be seen as being a white supremacist. They don't want to be seen as, we're not playing fair with the Democrats. Meanwhile, the Democrats are just steamrolling right over them. There is no reason why we should be having a hearing tomorrow, Thursday, for Jan 6. There's no reason why Peter Navarro should have been treated that way. No reason whatsoever, but yet and still, this is where we are, Andrew.
Yeah, there is no reason for it. And it's almost like that the Democrats are just making things up as they go along. As I've mentioned before, this entire January 6th committee and investigation is a complete sham. There's no way to prove that President Trump or anyone in his inner circle said to for everyone to storm the Capitol. I mean, there's just not video proof of him saying it. And even if he did, certainly not telling people to do some of the more violent things they did, like attack police officers and whatnot. It's almost like there's no crime here, but the Democrats are just desperate to search and find a crime, even though there's nothing to see. And this is what we've seen time and time again with Manafort and Roger Stone, where they weren't even accused of crimes, but the Democrats just went into overtime just searching for any little thing they could make stick against either gentleman because they were associated with Donald Trump. And we're seeing this continue with this January 6th committee, which is just a partisan sham. And then you've got people like Lindsey Graham, who do not have their eyes on the prize. They're busy helping Biden send money to the Ukraine instead of being worried about these political prisoners that we see from January 6th. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew, with special guest Sean G.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back here on After Dark with Robin Andrew and our guest Sean G. We went to break where we're talking about Jan 6. We started off talking about Peter Navarro and what happened to him, which should have never happened. And if it happened to him, it could happen to you, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your children. Doesn't matter. Trust me on this. It could happen. And this is what the Democrats do to scare you so that you will bend the knee to their rules and regulations. Now, we were speaking about Jan 6 because they're getting ready to put up a big fanfare, prime time, and with the lights, and they want to show you what they can do and what they can say. They did the same thing during the Trump impeachment hearings. Why we're even talking about Jan 6, why they haven't moved beyond it, I don't want to say it's beyond my realm of thinking because I know why they're doing it. It's all political. They impeached Trump already over this mess. And he was found not guilty. So they want to try to do it again. And even in doing this, what is it going to prove? Well, what they're hoping is that if they're able to say, well, we're going to tie him to it, that they're going to reach out to Merrick Garland and say, now you need to charge him with the crime. Go and arrest him. That's what they're hoping. Because they have no power to arrest him, Andrew. Go ahead.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, this would literally be grasping at straws like we have never seen before. I mean, there is, like I've said time and time again, there is no way to prove that President Trump committed any crime when it comes to January 6th. I mean, there's just no proof. And I don't see any proof coming out. So I don't even see how they're going to do this legally.
Well, they'll do it because they'll break every law. What they're doing right now is they're just playing. Because as I said, the Constitution allows them to put together these phony baloney committees. But I want to just call everyone's attention to an article published by Reuters. Now, they love Reuters. The left, they love all of their liberal news outlets. So Reuters is one of them. An article published August 20, 2021. And it says, the FBI found scant evidence, that's their word, not mine, scant evidence, meaning zero, next to none whatsoever, that the Jan 6 attacks on the U.S. Capitol was a result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election results. Let me say that again. The FBI, Christopher Wray's FBI, Christopher Wray, who is compromised, Christopher Wray, who dwells as a bottom feeder in the swamp, is Christopher Wray's FBI. Found scant evidence that the Jan 6 attacks on the U.S. Capitol was a result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election results. Now, if you go back in time and you look at the, I think it was 1953-54, where you had some Puerto Rican nationals that attack the White House with bombs and guns because they were trying to intimidate, not the White House, but the Capitol, intimidate, force the government's hand to make Puerto Rico a state, or so that the government would just leave Puerto Rico alone by itself. Going back in 2018, you had a women's group on the Capitol Hill trying to keep the senators from going in and voting for Brett Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court justice. The day before then, you had these same women clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court.
Handcuffing themselves to the building.
Handcuffing themselves. No, God forbid, had these women got into the chambers of our justices, what would have happened? Thankfully, the police, Capitol Police were there, and they just kept a close eye on them. They didn't shoot anyone, like Ashley Babbitt was shot by a Capitol Hill police officer who is known for leaving his weapons in the men's room, at parties, and other places. We won't discuss that. And by the way, he happened to be Black, and Ashley Babbitt was white. But that they don't care about that, because it wasn't a Black woman who was shot. So let me just continue going along, building the story for you, the real case that we should be looking at here. And not a silly college boy prank that probably didn't look good on TV. But I'll tell you what else didn't look good. The spring and summer of 2021, whereby you had people, rioters out in the streets, burning down federal and state buildings, attacking police officers, burning down businesses, attacking Black people. David Dorn was killed. That didn't look good. But and that's your insurrection there. That was an insurrection because they burned down a police office building in Minnesota. But, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to get to the bottom of that. They don't want to get to the bottom of the origins of COVID, although we already know their origins. It's with China. China, whereby Dr. Fraud paid for gain-of-function research. Dr. Fraud, who was also doing experiment, paying for experiments to be done on beagle puppies. But we can't talk about that because we want to look at Jan 6, although the FBI has told us that there were scant evidence, nothing's there. But the Washington Post, the New York Times, they don't want to talk about that. Just like they don't want to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop that we now know is truthful. The same way they don't want to talk about the Russia collusion. It was a whole hoax. And that came out in John Durham's investigation. But they don't want to talk about that. But what they want to talk about is that Michael Sussman got off because they had a corrupt judge and a corrupt juror. You see, folks, our government is corrupt. They want you to believe something that's not there. They're trying to create a there, and there is no there. But they don't want you to think that because they know that there are a lot of low informational voters, Sean and Andrew, that aren't seeing this. And they will sit down on Thursday night with their popcorn and their adult beverages, and they'll suck all this up and say, see that? We knew it. But yeah, you also knew that Adam Schiff said that he had evidence that there was collusion. with Trump. But John Durham has come out and said there was no collusion. The FBI has said the same thing. And Bob Mueller's Mickey Mouse report almost said the same thing. But you know what else they're going to do? They're going to say, but Bill Barr, he went before the Jan 6 Commission, and he said that, yeah, he believes that Trump has something to do with it. Well, Bill Barr has said a lot of things, unfortunately. Bill Barr said he was going to clean all this stuff up. Bill Barr hasn't done jack squat, but sit there and eat more McDonald's, hamburgers, and fries, and now he's swelling up like a beach whale. Let's just speak truthful, because you can Google this yourself, and it will tell you that Bill Barr likes to eat hamburgers and french fries. Well, not just hamburgers, but cheeseburgers. So you wonder why he's tilting the scale over. I'm not getting personal. I'm just speaking truth to power here, which is what we need, Andrew and Sean. What do you all say?
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. And I did not know that about Bill Barr and his love for cheeseburgers. I guess it's not surprising as you see him starting to balloon up a little bit anyway. But yeah, and you know, I think, you know, going back to this January 6th stuff, right? I've been seeing like liberals and stuff posting on Facebook and their social media stuff like January 6th, never forget. And it's as if they're treating January 6th as if this is 9/11/01, never forget. And it's like, first of all, that's crazy for doing so. And it brings us into, you know, what I like to call the false flags going on. You know, this is a false flag, something to garner your attention, to draw your attention away from the real problems and the real issues. And then this trial for January 6th, they're going to make it sound like this just some, you know, great thing, you know, horrible corruption from the Trump supporters and whatnot. And they're going to drag it out and along, and it's going to be there to distract you. Notice the series of events of things that happen in the world to distract us. You know, notice these mass shootings. You know, these mass shootings, it's as if they're right on cue. There's someone's going to have a mass shooting, and oh, by the way, this is now going to draw your attention. Oh, now this is our way of grabbing guns or trying to grab guns. Oh, by the way, feel free to turn in your guns now. And, you know, we're going to give you a pat on the back for doing so. It's their way of, like, you know, trying to create the story, manipulate the news. And, you know, there was a school shooting. There was a shooting outside a supermarket. All these different things. They want, you know, want it to be race driven as well. And all these different things are just, you know, a part of the way they want to take away your rights, take away your guns. And these are things to distract us when they don't bring in COVID as a distraction, when that is worn off. You know, COVID, they're trying to bring it back again, even though we've reached the summertime. And yeah, people have been, you know, having a cold or the sniffles or something in recent months, right? And well, of course, this has to be COVID, and you need another test to make sure it's COVID or not. And then you need another vaccine, another booster. And, you know, it's a never-ending cycle. And this is going to keep continuing. Remember, we have elections midterm in November, and you know these are the next few months of how they want to control the news. So that way in November, you can vote the way that they want you to vote, which of course is not in a Republican direction unless it's a real rhino situation.
You're right. They're trying to distract us, to focus our attention on something else. You look at the mass shootings. The one that got the most attention was the one that took place in Buffalo. Why? Well, it was because a white supremacist, as they have deemed, killed Black people. Never mind the children in Texas that were killed. And if you notice, if anyone was paying attention, when they put the picture up of the young man, and I won't say his name, they tried to lighten his skin so that people say, oh, he's white. He's white. They're always like, is it a white person? Meanwhile, in New York City, the subway shooter, just as black as the day is long. Well, they don't want to mention him. Let's look the other way. In Oklahoma, the most recent. Well, no, there was another one, I think, in Sacramento. He was also black. But we don't want to talk about that. But let's focus on Oklahoma. 4 people killed, including a black doctor. A black doctor. I don't think Joe Biden has gotten a ticket to visit Oklahoma. The last I heard, he was on the beach somewhere, wandering around, lost. He doesn't have time to go to Oklahoma to encourage the citizens of Oklahoma. Why not? Well, it's not part of the narrative. It's not part of the white supremacist narrative. Now, do you guys realize that since this man has been in office, the word white supremacist has probably been used over 1 million times by everyone in his office, everyone on the left, the news media? It's an indoctrination. that they're feeding it to the minds of Black people, white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy, as opposed to Joe hasn't done diddly squat for you, and neither have any of the other Democrats, but enriched themselves off of your fears. Think about it. The Democrats who have told you from day one, oh, we're going to do this for you, we're going to do this. They couldn't be bothered with freeing the slaves. They couldn't be bothered with making certain that affirmative action that was passed by a Republican. They couldn't be bothered with any of it. But there was all the big talk and smoke screens. Barack Obama in office, 2 terms, 2 Black attorney generals. You would think that he would have put the kibosh on white supremacy. What was he doing? Having tea with them? I mean, seriously, let's think about it. Barack Obama. No, we were told once he was elected, oh, white supremacy has gone away. There's no more racism. Hooray, hooray. And then all at once it came back because he was one of the bottom feeders, pumping it up to the top, wanting people to think it, didn't want people to see that he was a failure as the president. Folks, all these ties to these individuals, if you were just to stop, sit, and look, you would see it. I'm not making it up. Do not doubt me. You can check me on it. Do your own research. Go to DuckDuckGo because Google will not always put it out there. You can spend 2 days trying to connect the dots before you'll find it with Google because it's suppressed. And remember, the CEO of Google went before the House and testified because people were complaining that, well, why is it that our information, when you put it into Google for a search, you can't find it? Well, we're not doing anything with the algorithm. Yes, the hell you are, just like Twitter was doing the same thing. These people are being called out over and over again, and Congress just sits there and allows them to lie. Why? Why are they so afraid to call these people out? Because they're in control. They're in control of what we think, what we do, and what we see, and it is unfortunate. That is the reason why. Someone like Peter Navarro. Where will the shoe fall next? Mark Meadows? Are they going to do the same thing to him? Is there a visceral hate? No, they would love to do it, Andrew and Sean, to Donald Trump. If he were still here living in New York, Letitia James would have already done it. Why the judge is allowing her to continue to harass President Trump is beyond my realm of thinking to a degree, because I know it's all political. It's all political. Because you would think she would have went in and gotten Andrew Cuomo and put him in shackles and handcuffs. But she didn't. If Trump were here, they would go after him. They would even try to go after his wife to embarrass him. This is our government. Whereas people who should be brought in, they just let them walk around. Look at the criminals, like I said, when we the first half of the show. The men that committed the mass shootings. Daryl Brooks, oh, he's being treated like a king right now in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Look at the shootings that take place continuously in Chicago. Do you see them bringing anyone in? No, they're too busy. They can't touch them. And they're telling you, oh, don't look there. But yet and still, they want to take away our guns, Andrew.
Yeah,
don't you right. Let them have it.
You're right, Robin. We're living in a country where so many people's priorities are not at the right place. We're living in a country where we celebrate our veterans for a couple days a year, yet the LGBTQ community gets a full month. You look at some of these things that Democrats have been pushing over the years, and you wonder why we've had these rapid changes in society where so many people have been radicalized. And I know who I'm blaming. I'm blaming the Democrats. They're responsible for a lot of this mayhem that we're seeing across the country and continue to see. You're tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, which is available on the America Out Loud iHeartRadio channel Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, or 6 p.m. in the West Coast. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew and special guest Sean G with a load of hot topics.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all 4 stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, Andrew and Sean, I want to take a step back because we all three of us have mentioned John Roberts and our commentary. And I don't think I roasted him enough. So I need to go back to John Roberts. And just in case you guys didn't know, I don't like him as a Chief Justice. I think that the justice who died should have been the Chief Justice. But such is the case. Now, here's my beef with John Roberts, other than the fact that I think he's a weakling, is that this whole abortion leak, Alito's memo regarding abortion, that everyone is assuming that they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and I think that they should. And people running around saying with their hair on fire, oh, it's going to be the end of abortion. It's like, no, you should welcome that. You should embrace it, because what happens is that it goes back to the state. And then your state legislatures can say, well, let's just put it on the ballot and let the people decide. I have had so many conversations with people seemingly educated, seemingly being subject matter experts on everything, because under the Biden regime, everyone is a subject matter expert. Oh, I know this, I know that, and they don't know diddly squat. But going back to John Roberts and this abortion thing. So I was having a conversation with someone and I said, well, why don't you want it to go back to the states? Because at the federal level, people are gonna still have abortions, they're gonna still try to get around it. But if you take it to the federal, take it back, kick it back to the states, the voters can vote and they can make the decision. Oh no, I don't want it there. I want it at the federal, but why? Well, I just want it. So you can't tell me why, you just want it there. Like, what kind of sense does that make? If you want the power and if you want the people to control it, just let the people vote on it. But see, they don't want that. They want a dictatorial type government, whereby the government tells you what to do and how to do it. As Biden said, your children don't belong to you, they belong to all of us. No, the hell they don't. But that's in Biden's world. So John Roberts, what is he waiting for? Why hasn't he found out who leaked the memo? Now, I'm hearing once again from reliable sources that they know who leaked it, that they know, but they're really quiet and mum on it. I don't know if they're waiting for the person to come out and say that they did it, or if they're waiting for the person to negotiate a book deal, waiting for the person to negotiate a job with fake news CNN, which I doubt seriously, because fake news CNN has a new boss and I doubt they're going to allow that person on the air. Maybe it's PMSNBC, but they're waiting for that person to get established before they leak the person's name, because if we were living in the right world, this person would be ostracized. This person would want to fade away to oblivion. But under this new world order that Joe Biden has created, people like that, they're celebrated. They become instant heroes. Whereas a person who saved the lives of parishioners in Texas and a Texas church when a gunman came in to shoot, he had his gun and he shot the gunman. Oh, he's not a hero. We don't like him. Because he came and he was able to save people with his gun, and we want to get rid of guns. So it begs a question again. What is John Roberts doing? What is he waiting on? He's waiting for that person to get all set up. He's making it seem as if though he's investigating it. How was this ever released? How did this person ever, was this person ever able to do this? John Roberts is running a loose court. And it's most unfortunate and it's sad. Now, my next statement on John Roberts. When is his time up? When is this guy's time up? Unfortunately, he's there for life. So I doubt seriously he'll be leaving anytime soon. So it looks like we're stuck with him. But you know, I would rather have Clarence Thomas as the Chief Justice. Now, I know that many on the left, they're already organizing, saying that, oh, we got to take him out. He shouldn't be there. Why? Because he's a black man? Well, see, they want Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is. Have you guys seen the clip of the video by Matt Walsh on What is a Woman? I think it's showing on the Daily Caller, I think. I would recommend you all see it because it's really interesting. The people that he's interviewing, and it's interesting, but at the same time, it's scary because he's interviewing people who claim to be SME subject matter experts, the leading experts on the definition of women and human sexuality. And they're coming out saying that anybody could be a woman. It's all in your mind. Misinformation 101. Anyone can't be a woman. A woman is an adult female who can bear children, who has ovaries. Man doesn't have that. But now you have men running around saying, oh, I'm a woman. Like John Roberts is probably right in with that group supporting this nonsense because he's afraid that if he speaks out, he might be called, God forbid, a white supremacist. We need real men and real women to stand up and denounce this craziness. Andrew, something that you said before we went to break, the LGBTQ, ABCD, EFG, they have an entire month. We respect them, to each his own, but an entire month of celebration? Celebrating what? What is it about? Identity politics? When we first started this show, we had a guest to come on and talk about identity politics and how dangerous it is to give rights to identities. It's extremely dangerous. We have people rights, not identity rights. Your sexuality, what you do behind closed doors is your business. But you're bringing me in there when you want me to celebrate this stuff. And then you say, oh, you don't like me. You're taking away my rights. Well, identity politics? Are you serious? I know everybody in the world, everyone's gay. All these poor children are taught that they're gay or they don't have a sex. They're just out there wandering around trying to figure it out. Does that make any sense to you, Andrew or Sean? Really, does it make any sense?
No, not at all. And, you know, it's one of those things when we talk about how, you know, this has affected us, right? It's like, you know, none of us, you know, really have a problem with someone if they have a different sexuality or sexual orientation. Where I think we do find the problems and we are in agreement on is that, you know, what this is doing to our children. And, you know, let's say when we are younger, okay, there could have been somebody in, say, high school questioning their sexuality. And it turns out that some ended up becoming gay or whatever else, which is fine, more power to them. But, you know, what we're getting now in 2022 is kids questioning their entire gender to where, like, they don't know if, you know, if you're a boy, you want to be a boy, you know, or if you want to change your gender. And it's becoming more and more frequent and alarming where you have, you know, kids wanting to change their gender or actually changing their gender at a very young age. You know, I have a friend and I guess her daughter is now identifying as a boy and went to prom as a boy. And, you know, to me, that was very eye opening and, you know, unfortunate for my friend, because I don't think it was her really having the influence on this. But you get to the schools and you get to all this other pressure and you get to social media and, you know, saying it's OK to want to change your gender, you know. And I mean, unless you are Bruce Jenner, who became Caitlyn Jenner. OK, well, that guy was older. That guy, you know, has the money, the whereabouts to do that. You know, he's an older guy doing so, but being like, you know, a teenager, 15, 16 and doing this, it's just crazy. And then, you know, going back to your point regarding John Roberts and abortion, you know, it's something that, you know, certainly a book deal could be there for somebody who helped leak this. And, you know, it gets us into when we talk about abortion, you know, it's always a gotcha topic for conservatives, especially men, because they'll just throw it back at you saying, oh, you don't know what it's like. You're not a woman. You never had to make that choice. And that's what they always do to try to entrap, you know, conservative men like us to say, you know, oh, it's my body, my choice. You wouldn't know. You're a man, you know. And then I guess what we can say back to that is, well, then the vaccines should also be my body, my choice. But they don't like it when you compare it to that, you know. They want you to stick that needle in your vein And, you know, no questions asked in the vaccine, no choice. But of course, with abortion, it is the age old, my body, my choice. And how dare they get rid of Roe v. Wade from the liberal perspective?
Yeah, well said, Sean. And something I want to comment on, I posted these numbers on social media last week, but it just has to beg the question, why are things changing at such a rapid pace? In 1946, less than 1% of Americans identified as LGBTQ. 2.6% of boomers identify as LGBTQ. 4.2% of Gen X identify. 10% of millennials identify, and 21% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQ. So it went from back in 1946, only 1% of the population identified as LGBTQ, to now the younger generation, almost 21% of children say that they're LGBTQ, which is just crazy to me, but it's obvious what the pattern is here. It's just the change in society. That's what's being pushed on these children, that this is cool. This is what's inclusive. And we see it the same with the transgender movement. And I believe this is also similar to what we're seeing with all these shootings now. These kids have just been radicalized over these years and years. And we're seeing the changes to our society, and it's not for the better.
It's not for the better, and we need to start calling it out. We did a show not too long ago last week, and we said that when you talk gun violence or gun shooting, it is political. And people want to say it's not political, but it is political because you're looking to the elected officials to change the laws. So similarly, when you're looking at the LGBTQ, those numbers are staggering, that these kids think or identify with the LGBTQ population. And as Sean said, hey, you might wake up one day, you might say, hey, I am this way. That's fine. We're okay with that. But when you're indoctrinating kids on this in schools, having kids to challenge their gender simply because they're having a bad day. Well, why are you having a bad day? Do you not like wearing a dress? Do you not like wearing pants? When I was going to school, there were many girls that didn't like wearing dresses. That doesn't mean that they're boys or they want to be boys. But in today's culture, if you go to school, the little girl says she doesn't wear a dress, let's flag her because she might be a lesbian. And it has nothing to do with it, but they're getting to these kids and they're poisoning their minds. Kids are highly impressionable and it's dangerous. I was looking at one school curriculum for the gay pride, and they're taking kids to the great gay pride villages in their towns, taking them to these establishments that have drag queens. What does that have to do with learning? Well, we're teaching them to accept people. Yeah, but you're not taking them around other groups. Are you taking them around drug dealers? Oh, God forbid, because they'll probably consider doing that. It's identity politics, and people need to stand up and push back. And standing up and pushing back does not mean that you hate people that are gay. I see people putting on their signature line, hers, she, he, him. I'm like, what do you got to do that for? That makes no sense. Again, identity politics. And when you look at Hollywood, Hollywood gets big on this. They push this nonsense. And at some point in time, we need to have strong conservatives. And not just conservatives, but there are a lot of folks on the left that don't like it either. But they're afraid. They're just going along to fit in. So you will have a generation of kids that are completely confused when they reach adulthood. And then they will be speaking out saying, why didn't someone save me? Why didn't someone help me? And we have no one to look at but this corrupt administration that's pushing this nonsense. And again, simply because you don't agree with it does not make you a bad person, does not make you a racist, does not make you a white supremacist, and it does not make you homophobic. What it does make you is a person with moral convictions, and you're saying, no, this is wrong. It should not be pushed, regardless as to what Hollywood is saying. Look at Netflix. It's about to tank because they became woke. I hope the same thing for Disney. Stop trying to be woke. As President Trump said, you be woke, you go broke. And speaking of going broke, do you guys think that Amber Heard will ever be able to crawl from under this woke or this broke rock that she's living under? Because she won, I think, $10 million for Johnny Depp, but she owes him, no, she got $10 million from him, and she owes him $15 million.
Yeah, I think at this point, her best chance to make some money in the entertainment industry would be to go the Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian route, and maybe the secret sex tape or something, because her career as an actress is over with. I mean, she is so hated from so many people. I just do not see anyone casting her to be in a movie ever again, because that movie will be boycotted profusely from these Johnny Depp fans. So I think her career is pretty much over, and if she's already got enough funds to pay him, she might pay him some money, but she's definitely not going to make enough money to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever was a point where it's like people were feeling legitimately bad for a high profile celebrity, you'd never even think you'd ever feel bad for, people were doing that with Johnny Depp, you know. I mean, here's Johnny Depp, like the typical what you would think liberal actor, you know, doing what he wants to do. And that's somebody that normally that people wouldn't, you know, like or relate to or, you know, have a lot of compassion for. But here we are saying, oh, man, Johnny really got a raw deal. And Amber is way worse than he is. And he deserves whatever, you know, is coming his way as far as money or whatever else. And that, you know, it also brings into the question, you know, domestic violence and stuff and abuse in a relationship and how it can go both ways. And it's not always just a man who is responsible for doing so. And Amber Heard basically proves this case. You know, I mean, maybe in the future, Amber Heard could go do something with Will Smith, because both of their careers have found themselves in the same spot for different reasons anyway.
Yeah, but I think Will Smith, I think that he'll rebound eventually. Although, you know, the slap heard around the world, I think he needs to dump his wife, Jada. But for some reason, I think he will rebound. I never liked him as an actor. I know that he's a big box office draw. Only a few of his films that I like, although I can't name one of them. That being, Enemy of the State, I did like that. But Amber Heard, I think I never thought she was a good actress. I can't tell you a movie that she was in. I just saw her as being a blonde that was put out there. And everyone said, Amber Heard, you know, another one of those little starlets that they were trying to push out there. But she was completely cuckoo in the head. Johnny Depp is no saint. I mean, he dated Kate Moss, Winona Ryder, and their relationships were tumultuous. But to try and make him part of the Me Too movement the way she did was really unfortunate. And I'm glad she got what she deserved.
In Amber Heard's case, it was the Me Poo movement.
The Me Poo.
Wow.
And you know, and she even sucked in the ACLU and got them. That's the reason why I don't like the ACLU, because I think it's political. I hope Johnny Depp sues Washington Post and the ACLU, because what happened to him, it could happen to any man when you think about it. He had the means to fight it, and I'm glad that he did. But we got to remember, this is the same Johnny Depp who had said, has anybody killed any presidents lately? Right. Or President Trump? So, you know, I always remember that. But what happened to him? Because I can be impartial, unlike the jury in the Michael Sussman case. I can be impartial and I can look at it and say, wait a minute. Yeah, he was dealt wrongly.
Personally, I feel Johnny Depp's pretty overrated, but I am glad that he got some justice here. And man, could this guy be any more popular than he is right now? I mean, I see his next movie being absolutely massive. I think he's huge right now, and he's the biggest star he's ever been. I think this case and all this exposure he got from being on TV in this court case every day will do nothing but good for his career. What are your thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if only the timing were right, he should be in the Top Gun right now because he's so popular, you know. So having those paths converge. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if Johnny was finished with this Pirates of the Caribbean series, you know, I would revive that, because I think everybody wants to go see him again. And, yeah, you know, I was a fan of a good amount of his movies going back a ways, you know, stuff like Edward Scissorhands. Hands was fun, you know. Yeah, if you remember Sweeney Todd was a fun movie. He was, you know, in a lot of like just really well done films, and I remember that, like, you know, there's some stuff that I really would have considered him as far as, like, you know, Oscar caliber or, you know, really high praise as far as films goes. So he always had the talent, and I liked his career a lot better than Will Smith's. Really, I think Will Smith was just kind of played it safe. He did blockbusters and, you know, didn't really take risks, but someone like Johnny Depp certainly could take risks. And many times it would pay off. So yeah, I would get back right into filming and maybe hook up with Tom Cruise to make whatever the next project is, you know, another Top Gun or something similar to that anyway, because that seemed to be the formula that's working right now in June of 2022.
Right. And I would say the difference between Johnny Depp and Will Smith's acting abilities are like the difference between President Trump's brain and Joe Biden's. I mean, Johnny Depp is a great actor. Will Smith, I always thought he kind of got by on his look. He's okay as an actor. Like I said, I've enjoyed some of his movies, but I would not say he's a great actor for sure. Johnny Depp is a very well-established and good actor, like you mentioned. And it'll be interesting to see where his career goes from here. I'm interested to see how big his next movie is, because I think he's came out of this case on top of the world, and only big things are in his future, it looks like. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just celebrated its 6th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora. Please like and subscribe. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Sean G. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.